Hello and welcome to another episode of Power On Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Taylor, and with me, as always, is the belligerent, the forgetful, the ever so clumsily coming around the corner. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. It's Sushi. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, Taylor. How's it going?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Doing stuff. Taking care of stuff.
Trying to, at least. I don't think I'm doing a very good job of it, but I'm trying.
Well, we are starting a bit late compared to when we were supposed to start, so I think it might be a little bit of a loopy episode in some regards, but yeah, let's get it on.
Yeah, let's get it on.
I'm pretty sure that sound does not occur in a Marvin Gaye song, but good attempt.
I'm sorry, my falsettos aren't up to par there. But, yes, and with us, is
Mr. Is me. Is,
yeah. Me.
Yes. I've had it in motion to disrupt one of Taylor's openings for a while now, and I don't think I fully succeeded, but...
you'll have to try harder there, Mr.
Yeah.
Mr. Swagman.
RPG Sandman.
Oh,
you'll be eating those words.
I don't want to know how. So yeah, how you doing there, Greg?
I'm actually doing pretty good. I just recently moved and everything has been finalized and I've been pretty happy with everything in my life, but seem to still have problems getting back to my studies. I've been sort of doing preparation for it and, trying to get the most enjoyment that I possibly could out of things. But it's all been good.
One step at a time.
Oh, time to crack the whip.
No, I break the whip and eat it.
Oh, goodness. I don't know what your diet habits usually are there, Mr. Swagman, but...
Vinyl leather.
That's... Oh, God.
Fishnet stocking.
I could have gone without that. Particularly that sound.
The slurp?
Yeah, the slurp kind of did it. We're done. That slurp is probably going to affect my sleep tonight. And
my work is done.
And that is the poorest segue I could make into what our topic is. And, yeah, the topic is one that a lot of people can actually talk about. So, yeah. The end. No, it's, I wanted to talk with you fine gentlemans about, dreams. And I don't mean, if you want to go that direction of kind of future aspirations, sure, whatever, that can work too. But I actually kind of wanted to talk about more of the subconscious realm of when you be closing those eyes and napping, what goes on between the earlobes there, kind of thing. So those kind of dreams. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Sounds like someone's having one right now.
Oh goodness, but no, I don't know. Up until now, I've kind of my life as a whole. When I was younger, I used to dream a lot, and then there was a span of time where particularly when I started working where I do now, there was a long stretch of time where I just did not dream at all, which was kind of weird to me. I guess because as a kid I grew up having lots of different kind of dreams at night. I got accustomed to that, but as I got older and I would just have these blank, black... seriously, that's all they were.
Black voids.
Black voids. Yeah. You just sleep and then you're up. And to me, that sucks. Gonna be honest, it's like the worst fucking thing. And I don't know if either of you have, but I have never really tried to do lucid dreaming, where you kind of take control of your dreams and do whatever the hell you want to because it's your dreams and it's your imagination kind of thing.
The question is, when you go to sleep, have you ever fantasized and that actually becomes a dream?
No.
I've done that once or twice and it actually works. You just you lose all consciousness, and then it becomes a dream. It's actually it's very hard to do, but when you can do it, it's very interesting.
What did you do when that was? That just kind of just whatever, or were you trying to do that? Did you have that kind of goal in mind of trying to accomplish that?
No, I was just bored, and then my mind run wild. So
was it like daydreaming in a way, or?
No, this was going to sleep, so it wasn't intentional. It was just like, oh, I'm going to sleep, I can't go to sleep, so let's just imagine something, and then Junior dozed off to sleep.
What kind of dream was it to tell us?
Oh, nothing too exciting.
Nothing too exciting, but nothing you're willing to share?
Oh no! It's not nothing that's wonderful. I can't, to be perfectly honest, I can't remember. It was something like going through a field or something, just really simple. Like I'd be playing in one of my RPGs. Yeah, something simple. It wasn't too fantastical. I think one of the times was it was a game that was coming out in a couple of weeks, and I dreamed about playing it, and then it just took over, and I just dreamt about it all that night.
Now, it'd be creepy if you dreamed about playing it, and then you got the game, and it was actually in your dream, what you had played. Or foretelling there.
Or if he slept for 2 weeks and woke up and he was just suddenly playing it.
That'd be awesome.
Like a pseudo Cartman there. Freeze yourself for the Nintendo Wii. Kind of thing. So,
but you do bring up a good thing I do want to touch upon is foresight, and people think that's a load of bullshit. I actually have a proof that it can exist.
You have physical proof of foresight?
In two separate occasions, yes.
Not personal antecedents. You need physical proof.
Physical proof.
You need physical proof. Unfortunately, what the science people need.
The scientific community is not going to accept your personal statement.
Oh, fuck it. My personal statement's fact, damn it. No, no, accept it all. Suffer the consequences. No, it was actually kind of, it's really surreal when it happens, you know. And I talked about the members of the family, and they said that various members before myself had certain things, and people, the misconception is all these people can do it all the time. It's like, that's not how it works. You don't really have control over it. It just happens. And when I was really young, I think I was like in primary school, and I was about to go to high school. I had no idea what my high school would look like. I've never seen any outlay. I've never been to a high school ever before. But for some odd reason, I dreamt of the library. And when I went there, I was like, holy fucking shit. This is exactly what I dreamed of. Like, where everything was situated. And it was just like, huh? I was just sort of dumbfounded. It wasn't just mainly why, it was the exterior when you enter. It's that entire structure that I dreamed of before I even got there. And saw it for the first time in real life, and I was trying to explain with her, how the fuck did I envision that beforehand? You know.
I would say, I have no idea how or why that might be the case. I've never had anything like that happen. I don't know about yourself there, Sushi. What's...
I don't know if I've had it in that sense, but I've brought up before, I've mentioned that I don't know why, but we started talking a bit about deja vu and stuff like that at some point long, long time ago. And I mentioned that I seem to feel like I get it a lot, and that it sort of repeats itself for me somehow. Mm-hmm. It won't just occur once. It seems to happen 2-3 times, the same event, or at least something that's incredibly similar. I don't know if you could quite categorize it as being foresight, but it's a really weird feeling. Obviously, when you have deja vu, you're like, whoa, that's really bizarre. But for it to happen more than once, it is really, really unique and very, very, just even more bizarre than the first time, obviously, because you're thinking, okay, I guess there's a chance that you could have set up something in your mind let's say you've always gone to this coffee shop every day and you've seen the same cashier or something. So you're like, okay, there's a good chance that this event that you feel you dreamt about could happen because, okay, they dropped a quarter on the floor or something and they picked it up. It's like, whoa, that was deja vu, that I've dreamt that before. But to have it just happen where it's completely out of the blue, having not experienced something at all, and then it just occurring in the real world from your dream, I don't think I've really experienced that.
I was going to say, yeah, deja vu I've had a few times, and that is a very peculiar, I guess, event. Because you're just kind of like, what the? I've had that a few times, but particularly with, like, reading something. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, it's weird. Like, I'll read something, and it'll feel like I've read it before. And I'm just kind of like, what the fuck's going on? Or that are like a game that I've never played before. Sometimes I'll feel like I've played it before. I'm like, I know I've never played this game before. Why do I feel like I've played it before? I don't know if it's just because of either reading so much or playing so many other kind of games that you just kind of get this sensation. And your body's just kind of like, okay, you've done this. Do something else, asshole. Is that right. You know, that's my mind trying to tell me to do something else or what. But it's a very, very peculiar sensation.
I almost get a sense of vertigo when it happens to me, where I'm like, oh shit. Like, it feels like the whole world has almost froze for a second. And not that I'm having like an outer body experience, but it almost feels like something is completely wrong. Like, this, I've dreamt this, and this shouldn't be happening. That weird sort of precognition, or like the idea of precognitive events and stuff happening, right? And you're like, well, that's really, really strange that you could be able to make that kind of connection. Because there are times where this event might never have happened, but let's say, like, some of my students, I've had dreams about like being in the classroom teaching my kids or something. And like a specific image will be in my mind, like this specific kid at this specific time would go to reach for a pencil or something, and that will specifically happen. And then it's just connects right away in my brain, and it's like almost everything freezes for a moment. And then my brain almost has to catch up with the event happening, because it's like, whoa, I already experienced this, but I really haven't. So it's really, really strange.
It's a glitch in the matrix.
Could be. It could be a loop in the matrix. That's, I don't know. I tend to think like I seem to have deja vu possibly more than the average person might. Like, I can't say for sure, obviously, but I feel like when I do mention it to someone, they say, oh yeah, I get it once in a while. I feel like it happens quite a bit to me, maybe more than the average person might experience, without having any obviously factual details or anything. But it feels like it occurs often in me. Maybe sometimes it hits me a couple of times in a month, and then it will not happen for a little while, for a couple months, and then it'll hit me again 3-4 times in a very short amount of time. So it's very, very strange.
Sounds like you need to break your routine.
I don't even know if it's just that, though. Hey, like, it's, cause sometimes it's not even routine. I know, sometimes I could go to a brand new country and be like, whoa, what the hell? How did that image get in my brain? But I don't really feel like it's, as Greg had said, why am I losing my train of thought suddenly? Because there's a glitch in the matrix. what did you mention, Greg, earlier? Precog, not precog.
It was sort of precog,
kind of way. Yeah,
but I was about to say the human mind is so complex that sometimes if you can give it multiple events that could possibly happen, it probably leads the way to deja vu. You know, if you've been to this place so many times, you can, you know, imagine 1 billion events that may happen, and it, you know, if it happens, and it was probably one of the more closer ones that you can recognize with, then it feels more like deja vu.
Right, that's a good point to bring up, because there are those, your brain is kind of programmed to kind of have like so many different tree branches of things that are going on, like, oh, maybe this is going to happen, this is going to happen next, and stuff like that. I mean, that's how they detect with pilots. How they are able to be so awesome at their job, for lack of a better word, is that they have these kind of, it's almost like a precog kind of thing, where their body is like tensing up and telling them to to kind of evade or you know, pull up or something like this without having that be the situation that's presented to them at that moment, but maybe just a like a split, like a, such a tiny fraction amount of time, that just like a nanosecond, not even, maybe a very small infinitesimal point of time where it's like, fuck! And then you, and then they're kind of, you know, that's how their reaction time is so ahead of itself that they're able to kind of do that. So maybe the brain is kind of tripping over itself going, hey, okay, we've done this. Do something else, kind of thing. Get excited. Play ball.
So. Very, very colorful way to examine that.
Sounds like that bad Nicolas Cage movie where he could look into the future 5 minutes ahead or whatever the hell it was.
I have no idea what the hell that is.
It was a bad Nicolas Cage movie.
There's a lot of those. The bees! No. The bees!
Oh, shit, you beat me to it. Not the bees!
Oh, goodness.
The Wicker Man?
Yes!
The Wicker Man. I don't want to call it the Wicker Man. I just want to call it Not the Bees! Exclamation point.
That would have been, like, I'd have actually seen something if it was just called Not the Bees! That would have been, worth it.
Right next to Sharknado.
No. God, no. Don't. Anywho, I don't know if you guys have ever had this, but the, have you ever had, like, reoccurring dreams?
Yes. More so when I was a kid. Which, yeah, that was probably the toughest point in my life, because from ages 6 to 8 was, I like to say, the World War of Dreams. Or I should say, that was my nightmare years, and they were frantic. Like, they were really, really frantic, and they were really bad, and it wouldn't let up. Like, I'd probably have one good night's sleep in a week, and 6 days full of nightmares. And, it's a really, I've been waiting to tell the story because it's actually quite fascinating, but, it's, I don't know what happened along the way, but it would just be so awful. And people are going to laugh their heads off at this. They probably think that this is comical, but you know the movie Hellraiser?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I thought Pinhead was fucking terrifying.
Well, you said you're like 6 or 8.
Right.
Yeah. Oh man, that motherfucker haunted my mind for 2 years straight, and I didn't even watch the fucking movie. I just saw the cover of the VHS tape, and it's just it was this different variant dream. But how it ended was the most fascinating thing ever, and this is the power of the mind at work, and this is something you can educate on kids to really help them out, is to end it, I actually needed to take control of the situation, because if it's something that you have no control over and, you know, it will keep reoccurring, so you need to get to that point that you don't want it to reoccur anymore, and you've got to change the script so much. And instead of screaming, camping for help, I think I said, I don't care anymore, do your worst or something like that, and stopped. It's sort of like facing, it's like in real life when you face your fears, it's sort of like facing it in the dream world. And people think that, and I hear various stories of that happening. It's something you sort of come to terms with when you're younger. And I tell you what, after that happened, they stopped. The frequent nightmares stopped, and I could sleep easily from there on out, you know. It is the weirdest thing ever. Just fucking Hellraiser of all things. And it would feel so real, and it feel really hot in the dreams, and the words would choke the very air around you. You're so surreal and horrifying, you know?
I was going to say, how about yourself, there, Sushi? Have you had reoccurring dreams, or?
I mean, nothing that comes to mind. I don't think it would be fair for me to say that I never had. I don't think probably anyone has had not experience some sort of reoccurring dream in some form, whether it being positive or negative, but nothing that really comes to mind overly. I remember being a kid and having nightmares. I don't remember what they were about, but nothing that kept me up, like say Greg's situation, for 2 years or anything of that nature. Just one night having a bad dream, wake up, okay, get some water, kind of lay down again, and usually okay. And
something I want to touch upon that you just said, the magic word then.
Water?
And, yes.
Really?
I want to, no. It's proven. I don't care. I think it is fact. I think a lot of people have proven it. I remember as a kid, I wouldn't go to bed drinking a glass of water. And I think after everything settled, I did, and I would sleep. To this day, it helps me sleep. If I drink a glass of water, it basically becomes a void. I will sleep like a baby, quick as a flash. If one night I forget to drink one glass of water, I will probably have an intense dream. It won't be a nightmare, but it will be far more real and far more intense if I don't drink a glass of water. And I was just like, huh. Because I think it just calms the body. You're giving your body water so it can go through the systems, you know. And I'm guessing it might have to be something to do with dehydration or... I don't know.
It's your nightcap. Your nightcap is a glass of water.
Yeah. I know people whose nightcap is Coca-Cola.
Oh, jeez.
How could you go back to sleep after drinking a glass of Coke? No, I love Coke, but I won't drink it to go to bed.
goodness. I've had a couple of reoccurring dreams, and like one, like the very first time I had it was fairly terrifying. It was kind of like one of those being chased by a monster dreams.
Yeah,
and I can remember it very vividly. It's this fucking white furred, creepy ass bipedal, freaky claw monster thing that would chase the hell after me in this town that I lived in as a kid. And whenever it would rain, the monster would disappear. And so, like, it would always be, like, right on my ass and, like, ready to, like, get me, and then it would rain and just kind of go away. And I had that, like, 3 or 4 times. I have no idea what the hell is going on in my head to, like, have this dream, what's kind of... Because some people believe that the dreams are like might be something to deal with, like
subcontext.
Right. It's your brain trying to kind of information dump, try to like get out all of this stuff that's going on in your head and kind of organize everything. And it's like, hey, you need to fucking fix your shit. Come on, kind of thing. So I have no idea what that was really about, but I remember that and just because I lived on the town square, because a lot of the towns that were built in because this town was built in like established in like the early 1800s, I want to say, and a lot of those kind of towns in the States have a square where they kind of start and then kind of spread out from there, and I lived on the square, and so the square was very prominent in this dream. So I don't know if just telling me to get away from there or what. But the other one is actually very similar to your stretch of nightmares, Greg. And that was those motherfucking scary stories or whatever the hell they call it. What are what are those called? I think they're called scary stories. It's a book. And like more scary stories.
It's not Goosebumps.
No.
I think I know what you're talking about too.
It has a very grotesque artwork.
Yeah.
And they're not really scary. But there's one in the third book I think I was in the fourth grade or something, so I've been a little bit older. But they one of the stories is about a scarecrow, and these farmers are they have the scarecrow, and these farmers are kind of creeped out by this scarecrow, and the scarecrow's name is Harold, and the story goes is that eventually, like, this scarecrow kills one of the farmers, and the other farmer comes and sees that his farmer friend's dead or something. I don't quite remember the full details of it, but the fucking thank you, scary stories. Yeah. And the scarecrow is wearing the skin of the other farmer, and the other farmer, the one that's still alive, sees it and is kind of flipping out because the scarecrow's sitting. And he's all proud and stuff because this peeled skin is on him now and it's gleaming in the sun or something. And it freaked the fuck out of me. Why? Because I lived in a house where somebody who lived on the first floor was this old angry man named Harold. And I was afraid that this motherfucker was going to come through the vents and like peel the skin off of my face and wear it. And so this
that's pretty gruesome.
So this lasted for me for at least a year, until that year's Christmas, because the stories were told during the Halloween time, but right. The next year's Christmas. And off and on, I would have these just horrible, just, I can't quite remember what they were, but they just these horrible nightmares that I just had trouble sleeping. I got really kind of creepy paranoid, and I was going to get abducted or something kind of thing. And I remember as a baby, my mom had bought a whole bunch of stuffed animals, and they just, I think my brother had, he was about 3 or 4 at the time this got went on. So he had a bunch of stuffed animals too. So I remember I would sleep as a kid with all these stuffed animals piled on me. So I was kind of hidden from anything that would try to get me and stuff. Just freaked the hell out of me. And then they stopped one night, when I fell asleep under the Christmas tree with the Christmas tree lights on. And for whatever reason, it just stopped. And just kind of okay, gone. I'm like, what the? And it was the most glorious sleep I ever had. And I was just yeah. And so, fuck those stories, because they ruined a year of my sleep. And holy shit, it was just, I totally get you, Greg, with that long, long chain of just being horrified by just bad dreams. Ugh.
I've got to say, and this hits home for a lot of people, especially my time as haven't completely been devoid of a gaming podcast. This is one of the most horrifying gaming memories ever, is the game that got me into RPGs, Phantasy Star. There is an actual scene in the game where the main character has a nightmare. I had a nightmare of that nightmare happening to me as I was a part of the party. In that nightmare, and instead of this, it had my name there, and it was
Greg.
And you know what? That's terrifying, just to have my name there. Ever since then, I will not put my name in a video game.
Not even NBA Jam?
Especially not.
No.
Alonzo Mourning and
not Larry Greg. Johnson are coming to get you.
Never deserved,
followed by Muggsy.
it was very surreal, and it felt whenever you got hit in the game, it'd have that big the buzz sound, and it was so intense. It felt like it was getting stabbed. It was just like, oh man.
Did you say Phantasy Star or Phantasy Star 2?
No, Phantasy Star 1. Oh, don't get me started on Phantasy Star 2. Don't get me off start on Fantasy Star 2. but that was probably one of the most vivid video game nightmares I had of a nightmare, so very meta.
Yeah, that's different, to say the least. I'm sorry, go ahead, Greg.
I was going to just say quickly, just another quick topic. Taylor covered dreams being chased. I've been chased by all manner of things. The thing I want to step forward with that is, has anyone had a dream of, reoccurring dream of falling?
Not reoccurring, no. I've definitely had that where I've woken up, where I'm sleeping and then I feel like falling, and then your heart almost feels like it drops, and then you wake up and you're like,
yeah.
Yeah. Right. No.
And you realize you're just in your bed, suddenly you're like, holy crap, that's fortunate.
I've had they're not reoccurring, they're like the same kind of, for lack of a better word, motif of falling. And so, yeah, right before you hit the ground, it's like, Jesus Christ, okay, I'm all right.
It was reoccurring for a couple of days, not even a week, so thank God. But I used to be on a double dunk bed, and my girl was like, what the hell is going on? Because you maintain the position, you're falling, you've got your arms in the air, go,
right,
are you at the top or the bottom, Greg?
I was on the top.
Bunk. The top?
And it's just which is not good, because you've all over and will be fall.
Yeah. For real. Smash your head on that ladder and then.
But the thing was, is I didn't actually have any more fear of falling ever since I had the unfortunate near drowning incidents when I was younger, and then I incurred some pretty hardcore fear of drowning nightmares, which is worse.
Basically, you just got a train of terrible sleep patterns when you were a child.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was just really bad, and just when I got into like the nines and tens, it just completely dissolved. I think I was a little bit more happy. I was, I know, doing some things much more better. And that's when I was slowly giving up chocolate.
Oh, that darn chocolate. As I would say, to this day, I blame Super Mario Brothers 3 with that stupid fish in the water world.
No, the big guy?
Yeah, the big guy that eats you. I swear that had some sort of subconscious effect on me, because as a kid, I would have certain dreams of being eaten by like giant aquatic monsters. And because for a lot of my dreams, they're not in first person. They're kind of like a camera's view of shit that's going on to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you guys use a dream in first person or what, but
50-50, I guess.
I rarely have it.
I will say like 9 out of 10 times, it's always first person.
Okay, yeah. I see myself in the dreams. I guess that's what I mean. Is that what?
First person is just looking through your eyes, seeing yourself as third person.
First person is just, first person is just perceiving whatever. But yeah. We're third, But yeah, you perceive myself having these things happen to myself. And so I kind of developed a bit of a fear for deep sea, which to a lesser extent, but I mean, it's still kind of there. But fucking, I swear, that damn fish goober thing, seriously, just stupid beating by giant fish monsters.
You're talking about that one stage where the stage is sort of sinking, going up and down?
Yeah, right. That thing jumps up and eats you in the gulp. As a kid, for whatever reason, it probably didn't, but I mean, I would have some dreams where it'd be kind of eaten by giant fish stuff, and it's like, oh, that's lovely.
Would you seriously freak out right now if you were scuba diving and were being surrounded by Humboldt squid?
Do
you think you would be just completely terrified of that?
I would probably be pretty freaked out by it. I think the groupers would make me shit my pants.
Because
those things do eat people.
As far as I know, some Humboldt squid supposedly do, too.
Well,
they're pretty vicious.
Yeah, well, I mean, they are squid and demons of the sea, so.
The Red Devils.
The Red Devils, yeah. It's just anything that's really big in the ocean, yeah, they can fuck off. I'll say it right here.
Amen.
So, I mean, yeah. That's just, that's not my territory. I need land. So
I need land or air.
Yeah. I don't know if you had those kind of things where you're kind of mauled to death kind of thing, dreams or that kind of thing?
I've had a really, really terrifying dream about someone at school I didn't like who, impaled me with a giant sword.
That's
quite intense.
And it's not a, and for all you disgusting listeners, that's not a sexual context. He had a very,
nobody took it that way.
No, just, it's quite disturbing. Quite.
This was when I was like 8 and, I was playing games and it was like, like a claymore, and yeah, he shoved it. And the thing was, it wasn't the fact he did that, it felt so fucking real, right in the gut. And I was just like, oh, it felt like I got stabbed. And it's like, you feel like the 2 seconds before you wake up and you're just like, holy shit, I felt like I got stabbed.
Yeah, not a fun feeling.
No, it's just like, you hear a lot of stories about people getting stabbed and you feel like, it's weird how your mind, I mean, I was like 9 and my mind can already adapt to a feeling of being stabbed, which I think, how would my mind perceive that? I must have been playing too many games. Stab! I'm just like, but where did it becomes so vivid, then you can, you realistically feel it like that way. It's just, it's interesting.
Hmm. I mean, there's the common superstition, though. I don't know if it's really thought of being realistic anymore, but where a lot of people said if you died in your dream or whatever, you actually died in real life. But I think most people have sort of debunked that. I think a lot of people have had dreams of being severely injured or killed or whatnot, and they're still alive.
I think what it is when they do reach that kind of like that crux of dying, your body has that kind of adrenaline rush to kind of bolt you back into waking up. That's why you kind of jerk around when you hit the ground, so to say, mm-hmm. having those falling dreams and stuff, is because you have that adrenaline rush to your heart. It's like, hey! Okay,
I'm up. Right. I've definitely had dreams, and not even that long ago, like just even a couple of weeks ago, where I've been like severely injured or kind of like killed in my dream by someone or something.
It was then, me.
Just really random stuff. But then I can, that's where the, when you had mentioned about sort of going into a third person, Taylor, where there's like almost like a, as if a CCTV camera is where you're sitting and you're just watching this all take place. Mm. And, you know, I had a dream and this happened and I didn't wake up. I was still there in this dream sort of world or whatever. And then somehow, you know, I came back to life kind of thing. But it was like, oh, you know, I was like, oh, I died. That's weird. And I'm watching it. I'm like, huh.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's it's going to leave a mark. But then, you know, the story just kind of continued. And then it was like suddenly I was back in my own dream again. And it was really strange. But my dreams are they don't flow. They're just kind of choppy, at least from what my mind can perceive. When REM sleep, is that right?
I think so.
As I'm sleeping, I think it breaks up and I sort of snap out of it for a while. I'm still sleeping, obviously, but that dream tails off and then it just goes into something else.
Well, that's what they usually say, is that there, you have, you know, what usually about on a normal night's sleep, about 5 to 6 dreams or so, or more possible.
Right, within an hour or 40 minutes or something, it's not very long.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be just, like, that would possibly explain why it's choppy, you're just kind of getting these fragments of each one.
Right.
It's interesting you bring that up. Have you ever had a dream where a nightmare where you feel like you're going to wake out of it, but you're actually still a part of it in your room as a temporary lapse and you dive straight back into it?
Like as in you actually physically wake up
and then go back to sleep.
You still have, it's like you're halfway in and halfway out.
Nope. That's a good question. I don't think I've really had that happen.
Had the wake up and then kind of move around and like, okay, go back to sleep. And it's like, hey, asshole, welcome back.
There is a great difference about waking up temporarily and going back to sleep. I'm talking about being halfway in, halfway out. Still hearing and feeling the awful shit while you can still picture your room and your hands and everything. It's happened to me once or twice. It's not fun because you still have that feeling like crushing you. Like you're still in the sort of the mental plane, I would call it.
Right.
And it wasn't fun. It rarely happens to me nowadays. But
pretty strange though.
It's terrifying. It's not what's happening, it's the feeling. It's the feeling of feeling crushed under your own weight.
All right, as you said, it's like you're losing control of yourself, right? You're trying to regain control, but your body's almost saying you can't do this.
Not right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had
if it was a sexy dream, it would be okay.
We'll talk about that later.
I've had only once. I remember it because we were watching a movie and my dad was yelling at me to go to bed. Sleep paralysis.
Mm.
I don't know. Have you ever, either of you had that?
I had it a long, long time ago, mm-hmm. but nothing recently.
I've only had it once, but I just remember it because we were watching a movie. But like I was laying there on the floor while we were watching the movie. Family was, you know, on the couch and whatever. And I could like watch the damn movie. I could hear everything around, but I couldn't move. I'm like, this, yeah, you know. And then they're like, go to bed, because you're sleeping on the floor. Go to bed, just go to bed. And I'm like, I want to tell them that I'm not asleep. I'm just kind of.
I need help.
Right, I'm stuck. Help me. And so they when I would tell them this, they're just kind of like, oh, don't be crazy, kind of thing. Just go to bed, kind of thing. And it's just it's because some people want to kind of attribute that to people who have like alien abductions and things like that. Is that they have this sleep paralysis or something actually that that you were mentioning, Greg, with that kind of feeling crushed, or like some people feel like they say that they start seeing sort of kind of really, really kind of very freakish, very devilish figures that sit on them that feels
right,
like
you can't get up. It's holding you down.
Right. And so, I mean, some people attribute those kind of feelings, those kind of sensations to people believing that they've been like abducted or being possessed or things like that. So like having it happen when there's, you know, family around and stuff, it didn't feel frightful to me. It was just like, I'm stuck here. I can kind of see what's going on TV with the movie. And, and then you kind of like zone out and then come back in. I'm like, okay. And go to bed. Okay.
Yeah. So. I can think of two events of it. One time I remember waking up and I just couldn't get up. I just could not get up. I don't remember there having any sort of imagery around me at all. Just it being totally dead silent. Just as if, just like when you come into Skype or whatever and you just get that white noise. That's all I could hear was like a white noise, but I couldn't, I couldn't move my limbs. My eyes were open, but I couldn't, I could breathe. I could breathe fine, but I just couldn't get up. And another time was waking up. And I forget why, but I woke up and I could actually move, but I couldn't feel like I was doing things. I know my mind was telling me I am moving my hands, I'm moving my body, but I couldn't speak. Nothing was coming out of my mouth. I was trying to speak. And I remember it being in tears. I was really young, being in tears, and I couldn't speak. I was trying to wake up my mom. I couldn't wake her up because I was like, feel like I was shouting at her, but nothing was coming out. And even though I could feel my hands and I could see my hands, it felt like I was touching nothing. I had no sensation of anything around me. Now, that was really terrifying as a kid. The first one, because no one was around. It was just me. And then second time of just being unable to communicate and get help. I was like, I'm desperate in need of help here. And then not being able to get it.
No. It's exactly what I was sort of talking about before. It's exactly how it felt on a few occasions when I was younger. So. Yeah, exactly, as you mentioned there.
Were you sleeping, though, Greg? Or was it like you'd been awake?
Yeah, like I said, when I was explaining sort of that half in and out, the thing that you brought to attention is white noise, because I couldn't put my finger on it, but that's exactly what it was. It's that white noise where you feel like you're not in reality, but you feel like you have some control, and you feel like it's real, but it's not at the same time. Because there's most of the time, you know when it's a dream, you know it's real, and then you've got those one times it's Sushi mentioned where it feels like it's a bit of both, where it's half and half, as I was mentioning before.
But mine, from what I can remember, I remember being awake. It wasn't, I could have been dreaming. As far as my consciousness can remember of it, maybe I was dreaming. But from what I remember, it was a moment where I had actually physically woken up. I was not sleeping and I could feel things around me, but I could, my body was just not functioning as it normally should. And both of these were when I was pretty young. I don't know what age, and that's pretty terrifying as a child, right? And not being able to get help, like being a kid and being so desperate for some attention, and not in the way of just like, hey, look at me, but like physically thinking you're going to die or you're in severe trouble and no one could help you.
As I say, when you bring up white noise, it kind of reminded me of, do you guys have, this might sound really weird, do you guys have sound in your dreams?
That's a really good question.
I would say most of the time, yeah.
How so, Taylor? What do you mean exactly? As in, you can hear other people talking?
Right. Like, any sound, because I'll be honest, my dreams are all muted.
For the most part, yeah. I think the more intense the dream, the more sound comes. With dreams, I think sounds more focused on one point. There's rarely a dream where it's like you're in a marketplace full of a barrage of sounds. Mm. Usually with dreams, it always focuses on one point.
Well, because I bring that up because I remember one of my friends when we were beginning to study Japanese and stuff and kind of getting really, really heavy into it. He would tell me, and I've had this happen before now, but like at the time, I just kind of was like, that's weird. He said that he was starting to have dreams in Japanese. And I don't even have dreams in English. I have it's like this kind of almost fucking, we are light beings, we just talk to each other through fucking subconscious psychokinesis, fuck you, whatever you need to speak. Like, I rarely have any sort of dreams where there's communication involved.
Through speaking, you mean, right? There could be communication through touch or...
Right, yeah. There's communication in the sense of how we're doing right now, you know, through vocals and whatnot, just does not seem to exist for me. And I don't know if that's because I was, like, my right ear or what there is of it. Like, I was born without a right eardrum, so I don't know if that's part of it because there was no sound for a while. And then it kind of eventually was artificially, like, had an artificial eardrum kind of thing from bones that they carved out of my rib cage.
Mm.
Pretty interesting scientific story, but whatever. So I don't know if it's just from not having sound come out of the, not having any sort of sound receptive coming from the right side of my hole in my head, kind of led my brain to have these dreams that lack sound or communication. And everything. It's just understood. There's not words happening. Kind of, it's a very odd thing to explain, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I can't think of exactly, like, if I've had some, I presume I've had some kind of sounds, but nothing that strikes me. Maybe the sounds are more common, like with nightmares and stuff, if you have trigger sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like some, let's say you watched a horror movie or something, and horror movies obviously have typical, really bizarre, creepy sounds, chains rattling or like a sound, something weird. There's always something weird, right? There's always like a trigger sound to get you prepared that something is going to happen in the movie usually. So that kind of stuff, maybe. If I have a nightmare or whatnot, maybe that happens. But I'm trying to think of having conversations or even just words. Do this or pick this up, go over here. Probably, but nothing that seems to stick in my mind. I mean, that's actually a really good point.
Oh, well, yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just something that kind of I had thought about from time to time, and it's just like, I don't know if, because I mean, you generally don't talk about dreams with other people unless you're kind of into dream interpretations or
counseling
or counseling and stuff like that. And so you generally it just doesn't come up, and so I mean, it's your own kind of business. So I mean, it's always I don't want to say it bothered me. It's, I guess, more intrigued me whether or not.
Yeah.
People have that, so definitely people let me know if you've been fucking having like sounds in your dreams. Just curious. But this kind of leads me into something else, because we're for the most part talking about a lot of dreams had is just kind of younger versions of ourselves. There was a dream that I had, I want to say it's been within the last 3 years. That seems like a long time. Maybe not. We are kind of old after all. Sorry. old in body, young in spirit. But I had a dream, and I've had a few of these dreams that feel like a lifetime. And I don't know if you guys have ever had them, but there was this one that I had within the last 3 years that I literally lived a life as some motherfucking person in this dream. And it felt like a lifetime. I just went through being a young adult to, you know, middle-aged man, and just got older and older and older. And eventually I was on my deathbed with family all around. And then I died and I woke up crying. It was the weirdest fucking thing that I've ever had. Like, I don't want to say weirdest. It was just a very emotional kind of thing. Because it was just like, it wasn't a sad life. It wasn't a ruinous life. It wasn't a harmful life. It was just a good life that I lived. That's just I got to experience, and it was a very interesting how that just kind of came about. I don't know if you guys have ever had something similar to that, or
not into that depth in terms of scope from conception to old age to the deathbed. Not something that elaborate.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah, but mine's more intense. Like, I'll be someone else. I'll be a part of people that I don't know. Mm. I don't want to say Mystery Inc. because it's pretty much Mystery Inc. on steroids. the stakes is pretty fucking high, but I'm looking like I'm searching for a mystery. I'm constantly being chased and constantly being shot at as I'm trying to search for clues for solving some grand mystery. But I'm sort of like a super agent in the vein, or I don't know why. I must have been watching too much Blade Runner, but I felt like I was Rick Deckard. It's like, I don't know what I was hunting for, but yeah, it was so intense and so real. I felt like the bullets were whizzing past my face and everything, but it didn't feel like I was me. I felt like I was someone else.
Mm.
And it was a team of people, and it was really surreal. It was like a grand journey that happened for, like, it was like episodic. Mm. Happened a couple of dreams, and then it came to an end.
Like, did it feel like a normal dream, or did it feel like a very lengthy kind of dream to you?
Yeah, it did feel like a very lengthy dream, and that's the thing. This is the thing I think I would like to touch upon, and people can agree with this. There are some dreams that, you know, you think has only been 2 seconds, and it's been 8 hours. And then there are some dreams that feel like three hours, and it's only been 3 minutes.
All right. Yeah, totally. We've had a lot of those. How about yourself, this issue? Have you ever had that kind of live another life experience in a dream?
I feel like not necessarily to that extent, but maybe where I've been sort of, yeah, put into somebody else's shoes.
Mm.
I don't think that's something uncommon for people, though.
Right.
Maybe. It's almost just like a fantasy then, right? Even if you're awake. So I don't think that's uncommon, but not to the extent of where I was born and then lived a life and then got old and died. Not quite like that.
Okay. Yeah. It was just a very weird kind of experience, because I've had it a few times. I've had that one. I had one when I was younger, where I was like a Praetorian guard or something, like something Roman or something. It was kind of like an ancient. It was awesome. It was so fucking sweet.
Centurion.
it was really, really cool. I always remember that because I can still hear. This is one of the few times I've actually had sound in it, which is why I asked, because there's been like this time and another dream. Like, only two instances I can think of where I've had sound in my dreams. And there's this one with this kind of, like, old, like, ancient life, like, you know, being a part of, like, a Praetorian Guard or something, where I could still hear the bugle horns of war being, like, blown and stuff and going and, like, charging into battle and stuff. It was so fucking sweet. It's just so cool. And that, and another one where, it was actually me. And, it was also like my friends at the time from high school. And like, we had to, I don't know fucking why, but you had to like traverse across this kind of like cliffside to get to wherever the hell we were trying to get to. And one of my friends fell over into this kind of like smoky abyss into nothing. And I remember like screaming like, no! And those are the only two sounds I can ever remember from my dreams. That's it. Just two sounds in fucking 27 years. That's it. So it's, but yeah.
There's something I've kind of been holding back. I reckon I should I should talk about it.
Are we about to get naughty?
No. They'll come later. I just want to have a disclaimer for anyone who might be remotely religious. So I'm not trying to. It's not offensive, and I'm an agnostic by nature.
Please tell me you're Jesus. Please tell me.
No. Has anyone thought they've had a dream of a higher power talking to you? I've actually had it once, and it was surreal. And I don't want to be like, oh my God, God spoke to me. I actually thought he did in one dream, and I don't want to interpret that, because you know how people interpret that, and they spend the rest of their lives thinking they have this connection, because I'm not ultra-religious by nature. But this one dream I had when I was 10, I was the cloud, like I was in a cloudy, and you know, the whole cliche, you know, great light that opens up in the clouds. And that's not the thing that sort of concerned me. The voice did. And it wasn't clear as day. It was like some, I don't know what language it was, but, and do you know what? I've never really thought about it until now, until this topic was brought up. And I was just like, was that just me interpreting what I think of what the higher power could be or not? It's just interesting that I had that dream once, and it was how it was so real. And I never really invested any time in it. It's like it happened. Move on. Because there's a lot of people in the world that if something happened like that, they will read into that in so many different ways, and that's their entire life dedicated to that one event. And I'm like, no, I've got other things to do.
Mark this down, people. Greg admitted to completely ignoring a call from a higher power.
Yep.
Greg, go forth.
Yeah.
How about
six? Go forth.
Well, if you
I'll take my chances.
If you would have instructed it in English, then maybe. I don't know. It could have been a wasted opportunity. Who knows? You know, if I interpret that, maybe it would have led me to something destined for me, greatness. Wow. But you know, who knows? It just might have been an off dream, my interpretation of, you know, what I've learned to that point. You know, that you know, because your mind interprets so many things differently. It's just like, well, tonight you're gonna have a dream about this, and tonight you're gonna have a dream about this, and you never saw it coming.
And what's gonna happen is I'm gonna sleep, and I'm gonna have like every nightmare I've ever had, just back to back to back to back to back, and I'm gonna be like, God.
No, I'm gonna be fine. Because the thing I wanna bring this up, especially with Taylor, also with Taylor, because as most of viewers of Taylor's channel know, he's a writer. He participates in those competitions.
I try
mostly every year. Yeah. But you know me, I like to write as well. And creative minds, this is the sole reason I don't think I have any nightmares anymore. And this might be. I don't want to terrify anything, people, and it's nothing serious, I want to mind you. If the human mind can willfully admit and think up horrendous shit, especially when you're fictionally writing it, especially if you're writing villains and making them doing horrible stuff and they're awful people, then what possible way could your dreams affect you? Because you're already manifesting some pretty horrible stuff in fiction.
That's true.
And that's actually what kind of stopped my nightmares full swing. Like, full swing, it's just like, I think one night I did, I'm like, you know, I've written more horrible shit than this, and it just stopped.
It's like, oh, just take a bomb, go home, nightmares, your shit's weak, take it home, get out of here.
I was wondering if you sort of, does that help you?
No, I haven't had nightmares in ages, really.
Yeah.
Like, I've had those kind of life-living dreams. Maybe that's part of it, is having those life living dreams is from creatively writing. Lord knows I can't creatively speak, but it's just I guess that is a very good point to bring up, is that doing that, your mind, I mean, it's not to, you know, you don't imagine it for enjoyment, you imagine it as something that takes place. It's something that happens. I mean, it's not like, yes, oh yes, stick it in there, kill him. I don't like get off on bloodbaths.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, that some that used to happen. I mean, it's a grotesque part of history kind of thing. So, I mean, there's been a lot of horrible shit that's gone on, you know, not even 100 years ago kind of thing. So, I can totally see what you mean there.
I thought there was that one nugget where I gave him the finger. That was hilarious. that was wonderful. it was really good to think. It's just like my cerebral power has affected my dreams because, you know, I've thought of all these different stuff. And it's not necessarily horrible stuff, but accepting anything that's horrible. It's just like, oh, yeah, I've been here, done that. Do your worst.
And yawn.
Oh man, it's like you nightmare trolls. You don't feed them. Yeah. The same rules apply in the dreamscape. People don't feed the trolls.
yeah. I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to add to that, or
yes, there is.
You really want to go into like? Are you seriously?
Well, and not full. Okay, I'm not gonna go like full
in detail. You don't wanna.
No. It's gonna be more heartfelt. And look, this is absolutely natural. I'm not gonna joke about this. But okay, let's talk about this. And this, hey, people, you're young and you know in
vigorous. High school.
Yeah, look, this is perfectly natural, and I'm not gonna go full force. But the fact of the matter is, and I'm sure one of two people there. If there is a girl that you've liked in high school, there's probably a night you're going to think about it. I'm not saying you think about it all the way. And a lot of people will laugh at me and say, like, yeah, that's what I think of. No, have you ever had dreams that you just wanted to be with someone? And it's not necessarily eventually leads anything to sex or anything like that. Just you want them to be with you in your dream, you know, because you can only think about them or something like that. Because I can assure you, most people, most teenagers, if they find someone they like, they'd probably think about them once or twice. Not all the time, but, you know, I would have dreams of someone I've liked, and, you know, it would just be spending the day with them or holding them or something like that. You know, something simple. And it just the feeling is good, you know. It's not like arousing or anything. It's just nice.
A wholesome, good feeling.
It is a wholesome, good feeling. And, of course, as Taylor has been very hesitant, yes. Nearly every man on this planet has also had those type of dreams, and it's perfectly normal.
It's wrong! Absolutely. It's evil, it's sin.
Go back to 1950s. This is 2014,
Dan. Let that motor rage.
Let everyone have what dreams in peace.
Well, as long as they keep it in peace, then...
I tell you what, if you are actually having difficulty sleeping, imagining someone you love, it doesn't necessarily have to be sexual, but someone that you can trust and feel comfortable with, picture yourself with them, and you'd be surprised how your sleep is much better. Because I think you might be more one at peace with a person that you fully trust, and if you trust that person to be with you in your dreams and thoughts, you know, it kind of helps you sleep a lot more. Of course, the only thing that backfires is if you have a nightmare about losing them, that comes back at you pretty badly. Have you had dreams where you lost someone dear to you and you thought, oh my god, you know, it feels like you've lost them forever?
Wouldn't say I've had those in dreams, but I mean, I've had those in life. So, never really had it in dreams, but
the cliche you couldn't save them, but yeah, it's awful. It's really awful. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you grow up thinking, oh, it's awful, I'm dying in your dreams, and then you finally have a dream about someone you care about, and you watch them die, and then suddenly you're like, oh, I wish it was me instead, because it's a more horrifying feeling, being helpless, you know.
Right. Hey, how about yourself, the sushi? Is there something you want to add to that? Or this is kind of...
I think, you know, like Greg said, I think I can't speak for anyone in their teens or anything, but I think when you do have like a dream of people you care about or like and stuff, It might be. I remember it was really hard to talk about anything like that with other people. Even still now, Taylor, you brought up also about you don't really converse too often about your dreams with others unless you're attending some sort of counseling session or a group therapy or just if you're using your dreams to inspire yourself to write or something. But it's tough if you're having a bad time with your dreams. Maybe you're embarrassed to tell people, you know, I'm having nightmares. That you could be 40 years old or whatever, and you could be embarrassed by it. You shouldn't be, but you might be. So, and just it's hard to judge your interpretation of dreams, but I don't think it's something that you should be shy about. If you can speak with someone that you trust, you should. You should express your dreams with them, and it probably help you overcome if you have problems, or it might actually help you. I don't know if you can improve your dreams, but it might help you have better dreams or more vivid dreams, things like that. I don't know. Just like what you said about at the end there, Greg, I think with I don't know if I've really had dreams where I felt this sort of inability to save or rescue someone. But when I do have it, I feel much worse after I wake up from a dream than if somebody actually were to, for whatever reason, like leave my life, whether it's just like they live far away or they actually pass away or something. I think I'm much more accepting of it in real life. Death and things like that are natural, and keeping away are natural things to me. But in a dream, it feels like much worse because you believe that you have control of that realm. But in real life, I don't. So it doesn't affect me as harshly.
Exactly.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Like I've had both, you know, in the dreams and as well as in life, you know, people passing. And when it happens in a dream, I kind of write it off. Oh, it's just a dream. Because I don't ever attempt to try to lucid dream. As I mentioned earlier, I never try to lucid dream. So I just come what may. So when it does, if you know, like I kind of was mentioning before, when one of in one of my dreams, when a high school friend of mine fell off into this ravine, or you know, this kind of this smoky cliffside kind of thing, and I shouted no, but it was when I woke up, I was just like, oh, it was just a dream. So, I'm sorry, Martin. kind of thing.
Is it Martin Lawrence?
No, but his name is Martin. But unfortunately, it's not Martin.
Well, he wouldn't die anyways because he's the Black Knight. So.
God.
He needs to return to Boomerang.
For what?
No.
Yeah, I don't think he's not in Boomerang, is he?
Yes, he is.
Is he? He's the buddy with Eddie Murphy. Anyways, I haven't seen it. I'm
joking. I need to see it again before I pass any judgment. But it's mostly that people think it's a bad movie.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see it, but I don't know. Like with like passing in real life, I tend to. I just kind of. I don't want to say that I'm callous about it. I grieve in my own way, and so it's not. How I grieve in my own way is not, it kind of overshadows it with the dreams, because dreams, I just see them as an opportunity to see what my mind will present me. It's like I'm fucking combating my like subconscious or something. It's like, ah, show me what you got. See what you can do. But with like, with wet dreams or dreams of that kind of like, sexual arousal and that sort of thing, they're usually for lack of a better word, quite delicious and quite yummy.
Stimulating.
Stimulating. Yeah. they're
the more real it gets, you know.
Was that what you're talking about, Greg, when you said you were 50-50, half awake, half asleep? Is that what you're getting at?
God. Oh, man.
Breeding stud.
to speak perfectly normal on the subject, is there is instances where you hear about couples, you know, like they'll actually dream they're having sex and then they'll wake up and actually having
Oh yeah, totally, I've had that before. And yeah, the mind, the bodies. It's amazing.
It is. And you're just like, oh, I thought I was dreaming about you having sex, but you actually are having sex.
It's like, yeah, it's kind of like your mind's doing it, and then you're like, hey, you're dreaming this. Wake up. Get... Hey. come on.
And then there's the funniest stories about, oh, you're much better in my
dream. I haven't had that.
No, I haven't. But you hear the stories, and you're just like, oh, wow. Bam.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said before, Greg, it is a very natural thing to happen. And
yeah.
You shouldn't, for people who do, and as you had said, Sushi, it's something people should not be ashamed of or kind of like worried about if you're having, you know, kind of like very, very intense sexual dreams or you're having nightmares or something. People fucking dream. I know it's something to do with the head, so a lot of people get kind of wishy-washy. Like, fuck, you're crazy. You're talking about things with noodle, and it's doing these things, and you don't know what's going on. I personally, I think it's fascinating to just kind of get other people's ideas and thoughts and, you know, experiences on dreams, just because they're just, it's just shit that happens. I mean, I wish people were more open to talking about things like this, talking about just feelings. It's not like this hippie bullshit of, oh, guys, talk about feelings. No, just express yourself. Not just this fucking stonewalled kind of thing, or this fucking too mushy kind of, oh my god. No, fuck that. Just vocalize shit more, people. Wow.
A lot of reservations.
Right.
People don't want to feel vulnerable. That's probably the big part of it. They don't want to feel that they're in this position where they can be compromised in some way, and they don't want to be, there's almost too much self-judgment of their own dreams.
Yeah.
They're almost too scared to express them because they think, oh, this is a bad dream. I shouldn't tell anybody about this kind of thing.
Dirty dream.
Whether it is a dirty dream or whatever it is, it could be a wonderful dream. But that person could be extremely embarrassed to express it about, someone. It could be like, let's say, for example, maybe a husband and wife are sleeping, and then one of them has like a fantasy about somebody else, and it is like a sexual dream. That's probably kind of embarrassing to tell your significant other.
Well, yeah, that depends on how much you trust, you know.
Right. In that case, you might have to, with caution, like, I guess, express about what happened, but.
At the same
time, you can't just be like, well, you know, like, I don't dream, dear.
It's depending how grounded in reality is. If it's someone you don't know who it is and your significant other wouldn't know, I think it'd be more open. But just say if it was like her best friend, and then that's something you'd be cautious about.
Well, right. I'm not saying just go out willy-nilly and be like, hey, I dreamed about fucking best friend. How's that?
Giant billboard on her way to work. I fucked your sister in my dream.
Oh my god.
That might be going overboard.
Oh man.
I think just in the sense of being open with people that you can trust and saying, it's just like anything. If a situation that actually occurs, right? It doesn't actually occur, but even then, it still seems there's a lot of reservations about being free to show people that this is not necessarily how you feel, but this is what's going on in your brain in some
sense.
You are
human after all.
Right.
That's
about it. Unless either you two have anything else you'd like to add.
Well, we pretty much covered a lot of facets about the mind.
Right. Without going into too many, I guess, scientific research and stuff, which is
not our expertise.
Well, yeah, this is something I've touched upon years and years ago, but not anything recently. But if there are people that have any sort of connections for the things you're talking about, because you're studying it or you're well-versed in that sort of field,
please
give us some feedback on maybe why some of these dreams may occur in certain ways or why you wake up when you're falling, or if you have anything that would be nice to hear.
And just in summary for me, tips to have a better night's sleep is a glass of water and think about someone you like. you know?
I have none of those tips. I say, let yourself dream. Don't. I will say that having the nights where you just don't dream at all are probably, I don't want to say shitty, but just kind of unfortunate. Because you spend a third of your life sleeping, kind of thing. That's a third of the time you could be doing some wicked random shit.
Right.
Somehow get that noodle a cooking and a dreaming and a rocking or whatever.
Can I just use a metaphor? Pretty much it's on the fast forward button. You need to press play.
there you go. It's very, very interesting way to put it. Yeah. So, as Sushi said, if you're studying this, if you know a lot about kind of dreams and stuff, feel free to educate us on that sort of thing. If you want to and feel up to it, totally kind of tell us what sort of dreams that you've had and stuff that you're willing to share and whatnot. I personally would be very interested in hearing kind of wonderful or interesting or nightmarish, freakish kind of freakish in the, like, creepy kind of way.
She's a freak. He went freak nasty. So, that dude's a freak.
It's not that I'm, like, shy about sexual things. It's just,
YouTube might want to censor that.
If that's what you get, if that's what's going in your mind, that's what's going in your mind. But it's not as interesting to me. Sex is sex.
I take it with a very mature mindset, but I've had some of the greatest conversations with people in bars about sex, and we don't poke fun. Just really good conversations. It's a really good topic piece for me to talk about.
It's sex is sex. It's there for, it's there for sports and for, and I mean in the sense of competition between one lover and another. Thank you.
That's what I'm people, who's more only, vigorous?
Taylor, I'm going to say this now. The only people that refer themselves as sex athletes are porn stars. So you might need to rethink your game a bit.
I was thinking along the lines of I think it's in 30 Rock with Alec Baldwin's character. He starts with one of them, and he sees sex as a sport or as a competition. That's what it is, the competition as a vigorous body.
It's fun. I've always told people, don't take it too seriously. It's all fun.
But this isn't about sex. This is about dreams. So tell me if you have freaky dreams, whatever. Creepy, nightmarish ones, sexual ones. The comment section is your palette. Paint me whatever kind of picture you'd like. As long as it's truthful. Don't give me fake dreams. That's not cool.
No fakes.
No fakesies. I'll know it. Somehow I'll know it. I'll just
fake dream.
False. It's intrinsically false.
It's something so outrageous that it couldn't be false.
But anywho. Yeah. Anywho. With that, let you go. Thanks for listening, guys. And have a good day.
Sleep well.
Not after that.